Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Portions of this program come from previous editions of Eye on the World.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Jessica Pierce and Mark Beckoff, the authors of A Dog's World, Imagining the Lives of Dogs in a World Without Humans. Mark is an ethologist and a behavioral psychologist. Jessica is a bioethicist, and this is a thought experiment in which we entertain how to prepare for and what it will look like and what happens after mankind, Homo sapiens, dominating the Earth right now, but we can imagine, say, another planet where dogs are on their own post-human. Perhaps science fiction entertaining to you. It was to me while reading this book, I imagined dogs left behind after a human colony withdraws, and what kind of world do they develop for themselves? In this case, it's a world of great experiment. Jessica and Mark, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for this. I go immediately to an incident you cite in your telling. This is Yellowstone Park. Everybody should be familiar with this gorgeous piece of Americana. But in 1926, the wolf pack was wiped out by hunters and by predators. And in 1995, the wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone and prospered. However, they prospered, I believe, while the coyote packs that had been prospering there for many years were badly damaged. Mark, a very good evening to you. What does that indicate to us about dogs alone, about competition in dogs alone in the wild without humans? Good evening, Mark.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. Well, it was close to home because I had a graduate student whose thesis was pretty much ended when the wolves entered into an area of Yellowstone Park called Lamar Valley. In that area, they killed about 90% of the coyotes that my student was studying. What it really means, though, in terms of dogs on their own, is that they'll become members of wild communities and they'll have to compete or coexist or cooperate with the animals who are out there. That could include wolves and other predators. It just really means that there's going to be a complete change in their lifestyles down the road when we're not around.
The wolves that came back are known as Canis lupus. The dogs that we live with, according to the official documents, are Canis lupus familiaris, meaning they're domesticated. Jessica, a good evening to you. You and Mark turn the understanding of Canis lupus familiaris into three categories. I'd like definitions, please. There's homed, there's free-ranging, and there's feral. How do we understand those three distinctions, Jessica? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. So the categories are, I mean, we drew some distinctions in the book that are actually in real life rather fluid. We talk about a category of dogs which we call intensively homed dogs, which most people will think of a pet dog, a dog who lives within a human home environment, the dogs with whom we are most familiar. They make up approximately 20% of the dogs on the planet, about a billion or so dogs, and only 20% of those are the dogs who live as our pets. The other 80% or so are some version of independent from humans, which we just use free roaming or free ranging as a kind of catch-all category for these dogs who are living as street dogs, village dogs, community dogs, sometimes even pet dogs who nevertheless have a lot of freedom to roam around and live not just within the walls of a homed environment. And then there are dogs who are further on the spectrum of really being independent of human affection and presence, feral dogs who are, all dogs are domesticated, but feral dogs are on the journey back toward becoming wild again.
Mark, feral dogs and free-ranging dogs, the distinction here is we're talking about a world post-human, not without human, post-human. So that 20% of home dogs are going to be transition, and the free-ranging dogs are going to deal with the feral dogs, if I understand your presentation correctly. And in this journey from where we are now to transition, what do we imagine would happen to each of these categories? Would they change profoundly, Mark?
There won't be any home dogs if we're not around, of course. But, you know, in the first years when we're gone, there'll still be home dogs who will be on their own. But, yeah, in many ways down the line, the dogs will all be free ranging and feral. They'll you know, there'll be some garbage dumps around. And, you know, so technically a feral dog doesn't get any kind of help from humans. I had a student who studied feral dogs in the Four Corners of Colorado. And, you know, they were pretty independent. They had to form groups and they had to hunt and they had to negotiate their interactions with other wild animals out there. So ultimately we will have, ultimately, I'm not even sure that the categories of free ranging or feral apply because the dogs will be wild.
Jessica, what has been so far achieved by studying the lives of home dogs, free-ranging dogs, or feral dogs? Have we come to an understanding of the dog's choices, their point of view? Because there's several chapters in your book that are compelling because I try to imagine what the world looks like to these friendly brown-eyed creatures who sit around and look at me. What do we know so far about their thinking about us, Jessica?
It's a great mystery. You know, on the one hand, we know a great deal about dogs, having lived with them for many, many thousands of years. We probably even have a lot of intuitive knowledge and the science of, you know, canine cognition and emotion is really grown over the last couple of decades. And on the other hand, these are animals who are also unknown to us. I think we're becoming more attuned to how different their sensory experience of the world is from ours, at least in some respects. You know, for example, humans are visual creatures and interact with the world through our eyeballs, and dogs are olfactory creatures and really see the world through their noses. And their sense of smell is so keen, I think it's hard for us even to imagine what that would be like because it's so different from the way we inhabit the world. On the other hand, we are both social mammals, so there is a lot of shared evolutionary history and shared experiences, particularly, I think if you are talking about emotional experiences, you know, people sometimes say, well, we don't know whether dogs feel the same things that humans feel. You know, they don't, we don't know whether they feel joy or grief. And I think Mark and I both would say that's a rather silly perspective. Of course we know, because we aren't that different.
Yes. All you have to do is spend time with dogs for your whole lives. And the idea that they have emotional intelligence, something that is valued in human beings. Do we value it equally in dogs, to your understanding, Jessica?
I think some people do. And I think that I think researchers are getting more and more interested in it. worry, and this is one of the motivations for writing this book, that we pigeonhole dogs, those of us who live with dogs as pets, and forget that they're actually animals in a certain way. I mean, we may think of them as companions and perhaps even toys or fashion accessories, but they are wild beings with a really rich experience of the world that often through their encounter with us becomes a lot more constrained and a lot less interesting. And I mean, the most trite way to say this, but I think also powerful, is that we don't allow dogs to be dogs.
I'm speaking with Jessica Pierce and Mark Beckhoff. They together are the authors of A Dog's World, Imagining, Thought Experiment, Imagining the Lives of Dogs in a World Without Humans. When we come back, how will Canis Lupus Familiaritas change physically? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashaw.